Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. I am your fill-in host, imposter, Maskatron, if you will, for all those $6 million man fans out there. Dave Atwell coming to you, filling in for Dr. John Stamey this evening, who is getting some rest. Otherwise, things are going well here in Jacksonville. Got a beautiful night out here, which I am about to go out and join from inside here at Atwell Manor and light up a cigar and enjoy a – actually, it is a fermented beverage tonight, not a malt beverage. This Peach Crown Royal is pretty damn special stuff. For those of you who have yet to try this stuff, it is nectar of the gods. So while I go outside – and that's me opening the door, so a little background noise. I will introduce our esteemed panel, though it may be a brief esteemed panel, with a few of us out on assignment this week. So I will start with my brother across the county, Todd Saxon. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Outstanding, the supernatural, and ecstatic to be here. Enjoying the nice weather. Our managed, because I put off planting some tomato plants and was able to get them back inside instead of getting them in the giant pots because they were still in their little sprout pots. They survived the frost that happened. And here it is, April 7th, and I have a tomato blossom on a plant, so I'm digging it. And I would like to point out, for those that do not know, April 7th is National Beer Day. Just thought I'd mention that.
Which is why I'm drinking whiskey.
Right? You
Dude,
always were contrarian.
Love, right?
Always was contrarian.
Yeah, it's good to hear you got the blossoms on the tomato plant. Now all you have to do is plant a bread and a bacon plant and a thing of lettuce, and you'll be good to go.
That's what I'm thinking. The I I don't know the right soil for the mayo, but we'll get there.
See if you can go on and grow a BLT, just all in one hybrid or something like that. That would be cool as hell. Just walk right on out there, snap a damn BLT off of the plant, go to town on it.
Oh,
I don't
man,
know
that
it
would
is
be the thing. Right?
Those things never get old. I don't care how bad. A BLT always hits the spot. So, Todd, it's good to have you aboard this evening, buddy. Good to hear your voice. And tonight, joining us from out there in Arkansas, where hopefully she's able to do a little bit of her planning, too, Granny Hulkster, how are you?
Well, I'm good, but I don't plant much because I just don't have that talented green thumb, you know, but I'm all about BLT sandwiches.
Better girl.
Hell yeah. Now you're talking.
So.
Man, no,
My son and I, we had our first COVID vaccination shot today, and we go back on the 28th to get the second one. And so far, knock on wood, no side effects yet, so that's a good thing. I don't
Absolutely.
Want any side effects.
Yeah, so you're not able to fly or you're not invisible or anything, I take it.
No, not yet. Maybe after the second one I might be invincible or something. Although, however, you know, I attended a wrestling show last week, and one of the heels that always gives me lots of grief, he ended up losing the match after he thought he won the match, but he ended up losing. He got quite upset at Granny, and he, during the match, he tried to come after me. Well, my very good friend, Magnificent Malico, jumped out of the ring and came over to rescue Granny and put his arm on my arm and said, "Will all day, bad boy, you leave my Granny alone." So, you know. Granny has her protectors, you know. I have my protectors standing up for me, you know, so.
Outstanding. And it's good to hear that the shows are getting back into gear and everything. And folks are starting to go ahead and return to, and much like 9/11, I don't think we ever returned to the same normal that we were prior to 9/11. You know, that forever changed us as a country. And so, you know, and moreover, probably procedurally speaking, than it is patriotically speaking, because I think a lot of folks have forgotten that we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of that horrible event. And, you know, I just see things going on now, and it's kind of making me wonder if we've already forgotten. But nevertheless, you know, COVID's going to have that impact on us too, where, you know, years from now, we'll still be dealing with the monkey business that it created in 2020. And it's good to see, you know, cons getting scheduled. It's good to see these, you know, wrestling events going back on. The Texas Rangers had their home opener and went full blast and sold every seat. 40-some-odd thousand people attended opening day at the Texas Rangers Stadium, and to the best of my knowledge, nobody dropped dead. But nevertheless, things are getting back in the swing, and it's good to see it. Now, if we could just back off of this mask stuff, because I am so over wearing a mask for a million reasons. I'm tired of walking back to my truck because I forgot the damn thing. I'm tired of breathing my breath. I'm tired of smelling my breath, not to say that I have rank breath, but when you scotch tape a piece of cloth to your face and you have to smell your own exhaust all day long, it can get a little tiring. I'm looking forward to seeing more forward progress. We got to keep going. We cannot let this thing get us down. We've got to keep pushing on. So, yeah, Granny Hulks, are good to have you. Good to hear you got your first inoculation and everything. And hope that if anything changes, let it be superpowers instead of something that's going to make you sick.
And That's right. So how was your parents' anniversary? I know they just celebrated their anniversary.
Well, truth be told, I went to work Sunday morning, and it was Pop's birthday. And cleared up some things, got some stuff knocked out there, and decided to throw Dale and Rob in the car, and we drove over there and surprised them. And it's the first time I've been able to hang out with my folks since all this went on, you know, because they're feeling safer now because they've had both of their shots and everything. So it was real nice to go over there and surprise Dad on his birthday and everything, and I'll be damned if I didn't get a hug from my mom. And I'm telling you, I don't care how old you get, I am never, ever going to get tired of getting a hug from my mom. So I've been a whole year without one. And, you know, it's funny, and, you know, Todd, it's you being in the military and everything, I had kind of, you know, got a little up in my emotions about it. I was like, damn, you know, it's been a whole year, you know, since I've hugged my mom, for God's sake. I'm lucky to have her around for as many people that don't. And,
right.
You know, and then I got to thinking, I was like, well, you know, Pop used to go overseas all the time, and, you know, he dealt with it. But I got to be honest with you, when you're overseas or you're out of town or something, it almost seems easier. It's the fact that, you know, I'm 7 miles from Mom and Dad's house. And, you know, in a way, I kind of think if I was, you know, on Mars, it would probably be easier to accept. You know what I mean? Because
there is some of that. The kind of the same way we know we're just yay far away from one another, but in a way we're a million miles apart at the same time. So, yeah, I mean, being when you don't have a situation that you can't control, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
I mean, we've been trying to get together and have break some bread together, and, I mean, it seems like every day of the week something's going down. And, you know, go, 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 rush, rush, rush. And, you know, sooner or later, things will come around and we'll be able to, I'm kind of hoping, to be honest with you, and I don't know if it's going to happen. I have my doubts because I'm already starting to see things kind of materialize. But it's kind of funny how with this COVID thing, how, take for instance yourself, Todd, you've been getting your job done via remote access, if you will, you know, with your computer at the house and everything. Kids are still learning. Now, I feel they need to go to school just for the sake of their learning some decorum versus the computerized stuff. There's a certain amount of structure and discipline that comes with going to school versus staying at home and looking into a computer screen. But to be honest,
right,
with you, it's amazing how much we have been spinning our wheels as workers. You know what I mean? So many little, all those little things that had people working themselves to death, the job's still getting done, and these people aren't present. If you understand my meaning, this, you know, for years, calling in sick is a big taboo thing, especially in retail and grocery. You know, you call in sick, and I blame corporate America for that because they're the ones that pared the damn payrolls down to the point where, you know, because back in the 70s and 80s, if you called out, you know, if you were sick, you did the right thing and called out so you didn't get everybody else sick. But there were people that were there to get the job done. Now you got one guy trying to do 10 heads worth of work, and there's a certain amount of obligation, not only as occupational obligation, but personal, where you feel like you're letting everybody down if you don't make it. So, you know, you'll go in sick. You'll go in compromised by whatever means. But things are still getting done now without that type of maniacal grind. You know, people are still eating Taco Bell without being able to eat in the restaurant. You know what I mean? Things are still happening. Work is still getting done. People are still productive. And it'll be interesting to see if they, if businesses and everything else try to restructure things to a certain extent for the sake of production and for the sake of a little morale, because I think everybody's going to need a little shot in the arm, pardon the play on words there, when this whole thing's over with, just to get a little happiness back in the cycle, you know?
We get the point. Ta-cha. Shot in the arm, point.
Very nice. Yeah, but thanks, Granny. I appreciate you asking about the folks. They are doing very well, and they were definitely taken aback for all the well wishes and everything they got on their 52nd wedding anniversary and their 70-something birthdays that went through. I won't dare divulge. So in case they're listening tonight, I'll get the text from the old man. Hey, way to go. Just tell everybody my life story.
Right.
But, yeah, I hope everybody's Easter went well. I spent mine working. And perhaps I could throw that little gripe out about, you know, modern-day society and business and everything. If there's one holiday, and I only use the term holiday, if there's one day, for God's sake, that everything should really shut down, should be Easter. And I don't know how we lost track of the importance of this holiday. I don't know if it was because it's not the moneymaker that Christmas and Thanksgiving is, but, you know, Easter is the celebration of, you know, Christ rising from the grave and becoming our Savior, actually giving us carte blanche to be a bunch of greedy, manipulative corporate pricks in his sacrifice. And, you know, it's one of those ones that I don't think people really take the true meaning of it for, you know, for what it's worth. And, you know, perhaps that's...
I think part of where a lot of that got lost, and I want to throw it out there, is, you know, used to be good luck finding much of anything open on Sunday.
Yeah.
Period. Any Sunday. Boy, kind of, to kind of misuse a movie quote here, any given Sunday. That was just kind of the way it was. It was just, there wasn't jack open on Sundays. It really, there was a recognition by many a business that people needed to be able to power down. Heck, there was a lot of stuff closed, you know, minimal hours on Saturdays.
Yeah, there was a lot of
minimal
half-day
hours
stuff
on Saturdays.
And, you know, the thing of it is you'll have people now go, how do you go about getting gas? Well, you fill your damn tank up Saturday. Well, what if you're traveling? Well, you didn't travel on Sundays back in those days. That was the day where you can go worship if you wanted to. You can play with your kids if you wanted to. You can sleep if you wanted to. That day, yeah. And, you know, you had that ability to know that you would have that day. And for those of us who came up in retail and grocery, it never stops. I mean, it actually, you know, even though the locks get turned, there's still stuff going on in these stores. And if you're in management or anything like that, I mean, there's not a peaceful day of the week. And I don't know how many times myself, you know, I have been at family events or, you know, I remember one event in particular. I was dining on some volcano nachos at Margaritaville in Myrtle Beach with my lovely wife, and phone rang to tell me something had broken in the cafe. And I recall saying, well, fix the damn thing. I'm not the only guy that could call in a work order, you know.
Exactly. Yep. Well, you and I, too, know. I'm going to throw this one out there. For resetting the scales, I remember I had to get that information because a large percentage of the management had no clue.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though it was always written down in the little notebook that I kept in the office there of, you know, what to do if something went down and I wasn't around, you know, they still didn't have the ability to execute. But, and I'll throw this little bit out there, and perhaps I'm speaking out of turn when I say this because I haven't spent time in other lands and everything, so maybe I'm wrong, but it's kind of odd how other faiths than Christianity, other faiths have their ability to maintain with the observance of religion, I guess is how I'm looking to put it. I don't see when Ramadan's going on, you know, people of the Muslim faith, you'll notice when they got to do their five prayers, it doesn't matter if they're saving drowning people. They stop. They say their prayers. And you know what? Things keep going on. Nothing comes to a grinding halt, you know. So
exactly.
I wonder where we as kind of Christians, you know.
Well, see, you're saying we, and the whole thing is why that's still supposed to be the dominant ethos here. It's the degree of practicing or non-practicing is what it comes down to. You know, they're taking the claim, and you get these politicians that claim to be, but they're also pro-abortion. So, you know, I mean, just using that as an example.
Yeah, that's true.
So and you have the same kind of attitude with corporate America or whatever.
Business owners in Islamic countries get away with telling the help, tough tits, you ain't got time to pray, we got work to do. Kind of like, you know, corporate does to people here working on Sundays. Because, Todd, you remember how many people used to come into the old door? I'll work anytime, but I can't work Sunday because I want to go to church. Well, all of us want to go to church, but we got to be here. And I'm just curious of how some of these other countries handle.
I would say it's not so much countries. Let's go right back down to businesses, because here's the opposite side. There's a business that won't open on Sundays, and look how much grief they got because they won't for the observance. Chick-fil-A.
Well, you know, when I worked in retail, you know, for 14 years, I had to work plenty of Sundays, you know, because I was just an hourly employee. And then I became a, you know, CSM for a while, and I worked like Sunday nights, you know, because that's when they scheduled me, you know. But I remember one time I was working, and I worked for Walmart, you know, for 14 years, and we had, back when they had the radio grills, you know, inside Walmarts. And it was my day off, and my manager called me at 8:30 in the morning and said, can you come in and open the grill? So-and-so called in, and I said, well, yeah, but I'll have overtime. He says, I really don't care. He says, I need you. And I'm like, okay, I'll be there in about 15 minutes. And I got there, and him and another manager came back. He says, okay, Lori, tell us what we need to do. And I thought, oh, this is funny. I get to tell a manager what to do. You know? Yeah, I was just like an hourly employee. You know, I was just an hourly employee, but, you know, they helped me get the grill open, you know, within 20, 30 minutes. You know, we had it open and, you know, going, and you know, they gave me my overtime, you know, for that pay period. You know, they didn't take it away from me, so.
Yeah, and that happens more often than not a lot of times in retail, because they have pared down the staffing so much that, you know, when you do have people that, I mean, stop and think, you know, how many times are you in a department, if you work retail or grocery, how many times are you the only person? And this young man that I'm training over there at the store that I'm working a shift or two a week in now, you know, I was showing him the ropes, and I kept telling him, look, it's not about me showing you how to do things. It's about time management. You'll learn how to do the job. It's knowing how to manage your time, because you got about another 3 or 4 days worth of me showing you the ropes, and you're going to be working by yourself. And it will be like that for here on. You will rarely have a day where you'll be working with somebody else. And, you know, for some folks, that's hard to digest. But, you know, 25 years ago when I was starting out, there was always, you know, you had three guys closing the store on off-truck nights, you know, to block the shelves, run fast movers, to clean up the back room, all that kind of good stuff. Now, you got one guy doing the whole enchilada. And,
yep.
And of course, if he calls out,
it throws everything into a tizzy because there's nothing to fall back on. But yeah, I'm just curious because, you know, it's kind of strange. And I think Todd hit the nail on the head when he said, you know, it was a matter of whether you're actually a practicing, non-practicing or just don't even care type person when it comes down to it. But, you know, do you see the level of respect and the level of respect and dignity that goes with religions and other countries and other religions? And, you know, it just seems like we've lost grip on that here in the United States, how we just don't. We've just seen to bypass the whole thing, and, you know, perhaps one day we'll pay for it.
Well, you know, it just got chiseled down so little by little by little by little that people didn't notice the whole change.
Yeah. Yeah, that it just, you know, you didn't even know it was disappearing. And the bad news is that children now will never actually have a grasp of it. They'll never really have that ability to identify that there's something amiss. They'll just feel like going 8 days a week is the norm, you know. So, yeah, we shall see. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how we recover from this COVID and all this kind of jazz. But, you know, we'll keep pushing forward. I mean, we're still the best show on the planet. So, I mean, we can't lay down but so long. We got to get going.
Most definitely.
With all that being said, so what else is going on out there? Anything, believe it or not, folks, for y'all listening, we have absolutely no plan tonight. We are flying by the seat of our pants. So
we are ad-libbing, guys. We are ad-libbing.
That's it. And the way we're doing it is in the style of Abby Normal.
That's it.
Absolutely. Bring this Abby Normal.
Put the candle.
Blooper.
Oh, man.
Again, just one of the great hidden bits in that show, Blooker using German for glue. That's why the horses reacted. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Easter dinner. I know Dave knows this. One of the things I do is I try to do regular Sunday meals. For my mom and have done so for a while, mostly since Dad passed, got in a position to be able to do that, you know, DoorDash, whatnot, sometimes direct through the restaurants. In fact, if any restaurant has their own thing, I pick that as a first option because it tends to take less out of the restaurant's bottom line, especially if it's an independent place. They have their own delivery service. But my brother's up there now, and I had asked him a week before. I was like, you know, you want me to go ahead and do that? They got a bunch of these Easter dinners. You can share the stuff with the neighbor next door, that kind of stuff. And we can do, order a little more. And he was like, no. And the provider's website wasn't giving us much of options on Easter Sunday. So I went ahead and jumped on the provider's website, Bob Evans. They said they had their own delivery. They actually ended up using DoorDash. But I was able to get a turkey and ham Easter dinner to my mom and brother. Pretty much short fused it. Jumped in early. Was able to place the order for a later in the day. And worked out pretty awesome. They had nice full plates, that kind of stuff. And you know, they got a touch of a classic Easter dinner without having to deal with the mess. And they didn't have all the extra leftovers Yep, they didn't have to package it and get it across the, you know, to the neighbor or anything like that. So it worked out pretty well. So yeah, so I'm going to give a nod to Bob Evans. They put on a they had a decent spread for them. So that was nice. I mean, mashed potatoes and gravy. They had dressing and gravy. Again, couple slices of ham, couple slices of turkey. They had the green beans, and, you know, they put a little pork in there, usually ham, and some nice onions with it. And they weren't the brother sent photos. They weren't the ultra soggy things. Had their dinner rolls with it, and I was able to get them some stuff on the side. Got them a loaf of that banana nut bread, and boy, it didn't take my brother long to be hitting that one, so that seemed to be the right move.
Nothing wrong with banana nut bread.
You know, I'm ashamed to admit, but those Bob Evans mashed potatoes that you get at the grocery store, let me tell you something. Those things right there are damn close to the real thing. Yeah, a lot of times when you buy, like, pre-made mashed potatoes, they're not really mashed potatoes. They're like swamp potatoes. These.
Right.
These Bob Evans ones got some consistency to them. Even when you put them in the microwave, if you pull the quickie and put it in a microwave, as long as you let them sit, you got to stir them, and you got to let them sit for a little bit. But putting them in a saucepan on a little medium-low heat and keep stirring them, my God, it sure beats the hell out of peeling and cutting and mashing, as much as I'd hate like crazy to say that I cheat on a mashed potato. But those Bob Evans ones are pretty damn special, so I imagine they enjoyed that that Easter spread. Actually, a little jealous because I didn't even get any ham this Easter. I was so bent out of shape about having to work that I just said, you know what? I'm going to ruin the whole thing. If I'm going to absorb myself in misery, let me just go ahead and shoot the works. And
wow.
Be quite honest with you, I can't even remember what the hell I had. For all I know, it might have been a pizza roll or something. I cannot remember what we had. So,
oh man, let me tell you what I did. I did up a leg of lamb. We went ahead and we had some of the summer squash and the zucchini, just a quick saute with that. And I went ahead and I baked some sweet potatoes with it. I don't do the whole marshmallow stuff and all that, but simple baked sweet potato with just a wee bit of butter, maybe some black pepper. And boy, that was just a nice switch off the regular white starchy potatoes. And we picked up some cheesecake. And, of course, you know me, we had sashimi for our appy. But, yeah, here's something we can play with here is you talked about not having ham for Easter. Are you guys like a traditional, you pretty much, you know, if I don't, it's ham or, you know, nothing. It ain't happening, people, or you just, or do you swap stuff out?
It's kind of a mixed bag. We have gone, in the past couple of years, actually, it's probably in the last 10, 15 years, we have strayed from the traditional turkey, ham, you know, for, you know, Christmas and Easter, not so much Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving, everything's kind of based around the turkey. Whereas Christmas and Easter is kind of a little more open season on what the expectation is. But I know we've gotten to a point where we'll get a big-ass chuck roast, or sometimes even get some ribeyes, throw them in an iron skillet or on the grill or something to that effect. And we'll have, stuffed pork chops or, you know, something out of the realm of manwich, I guess is the best way to put it. That and something other than chicken. I'm so tired of eating chickens, so help me Christ. I it's a damn wonder I haven't started pecking the ground and crapping off eggs every damn morning for as much chicken as I eat. But, you know, we try to gussy it up sometimes and do, you know, a couple big-ass ribeyes, that kind of stuff. But the thing about the ham, especially with the spiral ham, I know some people don't like spiral ham. They say that it dries out and all that kind of good stuff. The best part about spiral ham is the post-game, because you take the drippings, you take the fat, you take the hock, you take everything. Okay, you bitch about cleaning up. Well, get you some foil, or better yet, get you a little lasagna pan or a meatloaf pan, something small. Take everything off of that ham that has not been consumed. Jesus Christ. Y'all hear that, Al? I don't know if you guys
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah. That's the two owls out back. I guess they're listening to the show tonight, so. That's not Dale making that noise. Just making this one there.
But they're barred owls, and they are pretty amazing. The only owl, right? Oh, the laughing owl. Yeah, that's a barred owl.
Yeah, those things are making some racket, dude. Good grief. But going back to the ham thing, I'll take everything, put it into that full pan or just some aluminum foil, and I'll put it in the freezer for 2-3 months. And just put it to the back of the freezer, let it freeze solid. And, you know, when spring hits or whenever you get the itch, I go get 2 or 3 pounds of dried butter beans, throw them in a crock pot.
Indeed.
And take that whole thing of ham and just dump it. Shoop, nothing fancy. Just dump it in the crock pot. Pour the beans on top of there. Throw yourself about maybe a half inch of water in the bottom of the thing. Crank that sucker up on low. Go about your business. And damned if that ain't good eating.
Oh, yeah. I love having a bone from the ham later to get and deliberately not picked clean, and some of the other stuff, all that stuff gets frozen up because there's going to be some bean soup or split pea soup or something later. It's just going to happen.
Yeah, buddy. Damn right.
How about you, Granny? Do you guys pretty traditional with the Easter meal? Or?
Well, you know, just me and David, you know, and Anthony, if we go, like, it's a holiday, like, Thanksgiving, we went to my mom's up in Kansas, you know, and the grocery store did a Thanksgiving dinner where we got the ham and the turkey and the mashed potatoes
right.
and the sweet potatoes and the stuffing, you know, and it was enough for all five of us. You know, we actually had leftovers. But, I mean, down here, like, if we're together, I mean, I won't cook a big holiday meal just for the three of us. We'll go out to Denny's or we'll go to AQ or and we'll have a holiday meal somewhere, you know, that way I don't have a lot of leftovers, you know, just for us. It's just, it's hard to really cook for three people sometimes, you know, and so, but I like my ham, you know, I'm more of a ham person than I am a turkey. I mean, turkey's okay. I can take it or leave it, but I like my ham, you know, and I like the spiral ham a lot, you know, but I'm like, you know, Dave, I'll get some pinto beans or something or, you know, and make some ham and beans and throw it in the crock pot, you know. And
I probably already know the answer, especially since both of you are talking crock pot. I'm guessing you guys don't actually do the dried beans, soak them, and that routine.
Nah, too much work.
No, I you know, I just throw them in my crock pot. I mean, that's like I make my chili. I mean, and I love when I can get deer meat and make my deer chili. You know, one time I had some deer meat. A friend gave me some deer meat, and I had my Rotel in there, and I had my diced tomatoes, you know, and everything. And I thought, God, I don't have no tomato sauce. And I wanted more than just my diced tomatoes and my Rotel. So I had some Manwich sauce. And I threw a couple cans of Manwich sauce in there instead of my tomato sauce. Made the best dang chili I'd ever had in a long time. Had my onions in there. I threw some red peppers and green peppers in there. And I mean, I actually won a chili cook-off contest with my recipe that I make for chili sometimes. You know, I won a chili cook-off contest one time at my job at work. We did a chili cook-off contest, and I actually won the contest. But for some reason, the Manwich sauce just gave it a little oomph to it, you know.
Yeah, I never thought about that. You know, when I started dating Dale all those many years ago, me and my roommate, we were both store managers. And the two of us just, you know, we were single guys that worked 18-hour days. And we drank for the other six. And, you know, our dining was usually, you know, consisted of a bag full of Hardee's or, you know, Taco Bell or something to that effect whenever we can get something, you know, put together. So when we were able to actually cook at the house, there was a lot of times, despite the fact that we both managed grocery stores, that we just didn't have the proper groceries in the house to have certain dinners. So we just played it by ear a lot of times. And Dale had come over to the house and cooking Manwich and boiling pasta. And she says, well, oh, you make a Manwich? I said, yeah. She says, why are you making the pasta? And I says, put the goddamn Manwich on it. She's like, you put Manwich on pasta? I says, yeah, it's just like spaghetti sauce. I mean, it's the same thing as spaghetti gravy. It's just
the only thing you were missing was your ground burger in there to turn it into effectively a homemade hamburger helper.
Yeah.
The,
So I don't know how many times I've done that. Slop some Manwich on some pasta. That's good stuff.
Wow. The,
well, I know when my daddy was alive, before my daddy passed in 2004, my daddy's been gone. Let's see, he'll be gone 17 years, July 15th, he'll be gone 17 years. And it was near the 4th of July, and Daddy's appetite hadn't been really good. You know, he'd been sick for a long time. You know, he actually died of congestive heart failure, and we had brats and cheeseburgers, and he said, will you make your potato salad for me? And I said, yes, I will, Daddy. So I made my potato salad for him, and that was actually the last good meal that he says, I know I'm not supposed to have any of this stuff, but he says, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to sit and I'm going to enjoy it. And that was the last, that was like on the 4th of July, and that was the last good meal that my daddy had before he passed on July 15th. And,
there you go.
You know, I mean,
we got to have some of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, because he ate because he had to, not because he wanted to, because he had no appetite. I mean, he found out a year and a half before he died that he had bone cancer, but that's not what killed him. You know, he died of a weak heart, you know, and but he actually enjoyed that last meal that we had around 4th of July. And, you know, when he asked me to make my potato salad, I said, yes, Daddy, I'll make you my potato salad. And, you know, so I did, you know. And
yeah, but that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, if you're going to, I guess that's a common fear. I know it's definitely one of mine, is that when it's time for me to go, the thought of doing it in an alien place, surrounded by alien people, eating alien food, I'd rather just drop at the house and call it a life. You know what I mean? It's there's certain comforts that come with the house, and, you know, I can't stand broccoli. And knowing that 95% of the people out there do like broccoli, I mean, I could picture me being in a damn old folks home somewhere, and they're like, Mr. Atwell, you haven't eaten your broccoli. Well, goddamn, I've lived 100 years and I ain't ate broccoli. Why am I going to start now? Get the stuff off my plate. I was at the house.
Well, see, we had brought hospice in for my dad about a month before he died, and they hadn't even started building the Circle of Life hospice place yet. So he actually died at home, which is what he wanted. He didn't want to die in a hospital. He didn't want to die in a nursing home. He wanted to die at home, and that's what he did. He got his wish. And, you know, he held on, and you know, my mom and dad, they had some property at Holiday Island over by Eureka Springs, and the real estate guy, which to this day I still cannot stand. I don't even know if he's still over there or not, but he made my mom and dad go down in price, and he knew how sick my daddy was, and he told the people at the closing office. They said, oh, well, Mr. Binge can sit out in the car and sign the paperwork. And I'm like, and what is the problem of you all driving to Springdale and having my mom fill out the paperwork in her own apartment rather than my aunt driving her clear over to Eureka Springs to sign a bunch of paperwork? You know, they didn't even – I told that real estate man, I said, you know, you're lucky you're even getting this commission, because I said, if I would have had my say about it, you wouldn't have got a dime.
Yeah.
He made me so mad. I mean, you know, and my daddy kept asking me where my mom was, and he always called my mom, he called her Mert. That was a nickname that he gave my mom. He says, where's Mert? Where's Mert? And I said, Daddy, she went to take care of everything. Everything's done. You can just go to sleep and rest. And I believe that's what he was truly holding on for, guys, is to know that everything had been taken care of, the property had been sold, everything had been done, and he could die peacefully, which he went the next morning, you know, he passed the next morning. So, but I'll never forget the one thing, you know, my daddy, he wasn't a huggy type guy. I mean, but we knew he loved us for what he did for us, you know, and now he would always tell my son, you know, my son would come up, Grandpa, I love you. And he'd say, well, I love you too, you know, and him and my son had a very close relationship. I mean, my son was the first grandchild, so him and my dad were very close. And I remember sitting on the bed talking to my dad, and he was just saying a lot of things that wasn't making any sense. And I kissed him on his cheek. I said, Daddy, I love you. And he grabbed my hand, he squeezed my hand, and he said, I love you too. And I'll never forget that because my dad didn't tell us a lot, but like I said, we knew he loved us for what he did for us. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when it comes down that time, you know, that's, you know, I think folks are realizing there isn't much time to catch up on all the things maybe they perhaps should have been saying all along, but just didn't for one reason or another. And, but you got to know that he went out with a good peace of mind because he was surrounded by the people that he loved the most. And, you know, like you said, he was right there at the house. So,
yep.
You know, that would be my thing. And to be honest with you, you know, speaking on the Easter dinner angle, I was so bent out of shape Sunday, talking about not having the comfort. I was so bent out of shape Sunday that it was up until yesterday that it dawned on me that I hadn't eaten any jelly beans. Now,
Oh, man, so you're a jelly bean guy.
Oh, no jelly beans? Oh, Dave, no jelly beans?
Yeah, it's those Peeps, and when they started coming out with the different flavors of Peeps, like the melon Peeps and the cotton candy ones, holy Christ.
Oh,
hell no. Yeah,
my mother absolutely
man.
Loves those things. I can't stand them. I can't stand those Peeps. I just, ugh.
I'll eat them. I'll eat the black jelly beans. I'll eat it all. And Easter, by God, if I don't do anything else, I usually gorge out on some jelly beans. And if you've ever had the pleasure of getting the Nerds flavored jelly beans, you know, the little Nerd candies, it's a jelly bean covered in Nerds. And I'm telling you, it's a different type of euphoria when you're eating those damn things. And
euphoria, God almighty.
I'll be damned if the whole holiday just didn't get right on by me and I didn't get a jelly bean or a peep for that matter. So, yeah, for those of y'all out there, sometimes the bitterness will bite you in the ass sometimes. You just got to slow down and get the last laugh. So
that's funny. That's funny. You know, we didn't do any of that stuff. The girls for Lent, Yuki gave up all the sugar-oriented snacks, sweet stuff like that. Like, hey, you know, Hannah, if you want to add honey to your tea or coffee, as you know, that's okay. I don't think that's the, you know, it's not the white cane sugar for sugar. I know you, for you, it's just she's not a straight black coffee drinker, where areas I can drink straight black coffee. But we made sure at midnight kind of gave up chocolate through Lent. We had their stash there for midnight on Saturday night for them to be able to have their stuff. But I started thinking about some of the odds and ends that we've done for Easter dinners. One of my sons, one of the guys from his unit, he and his family were, when the other place next to us was a rental, they were in there, and it was funny. Garen calls me and says, hey, he goes, my boy is texting me asking what the hell you're cooking because the whole neighborhood smells good. I was smoking a brisket.
Oh, wow.
Doing a classic mesquite wood smoked brisket on Easter. The damn it, Dave, I think we were at Sam's together. I showed you the pictures that we had done rabbit 1 year on Easter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which
is kind of sacrilegious to cook the Easter bunny on Easter, but I mean, you don't eat pumpkin pie on Halloween, you know.
And you know, I've shown you where pumpkin pie comes from. That's a whole nother story.
Oh, yeah.
We've done brisket. We've done, I'm pretty sure at some point we've done some variation of a rib roast, probably to save money, probably not the bone-in roast, but, you know, still done that. We've just never necessarily stuck to those things. I think we got lucky through Christmas and all that. We found at your company carried it, got it at one of your stores, their stores, the one here on Western across from Ducks. We found a really nice spiral sliced low sodium ham, and I won't glaze them or anything like that because I want to be able to use the leftover ham slice and all that. I do like the easeability of carving for serving with the spiral hams. But I just make sure you cook the, you know, you get the half ham there and you cook the big wide flat side down so the thing is all the meat is actually resting on each other instead of trying to do it the long way and it all folds down and it all gets exposed and it all gets dry. So we had found, and it was like low sodium. It was, now people were talking ham here. It was only in a 20% range, like right at 20, which is for a ham, that's pretty low sodium. Considering most of them that you see, they're 30 plus. So that was so we did good and we had got through that. Leg of lamb, brisket, We've done rabbit. We've done beef. We've done. I'll tell you. I know. Periodically, it'd be like, especially with the smaller household, you know, two kids, two parents. You're talking. You only need so much stuff. I know for sure. Like I smoke a turkey breast and done ribs at the same time. I mean, if you're going to fire up a smoker, you might as well throw extra meat on it, and you're going to use the same amount of charcoal and wood to smoke a turkey breast as you will to throw on a couple extra pieces of meat. So, yeah, we've done that kind of stuff, too.
Totally agree. Yeah, because sometimes I'll do that with the grill. If I got the grill, because I've got one of those great big cast iron charcoal grills, and that thing will get so damn hot. The thought of going out there and doing 8 burgers and a package of hot dogs is kind of, you know, burning daylight. You know, it's like, God, I got this thing so hot. I got to keep cooking. So what I'll do is I'll get a pork loin, and I'll cut the pork loin up into various things. I'll do chops. I'll do some boneless back ribs, that kind of stuff. Dale has brought me a couple years back grilling basket, which is really nice. And we'll throw – sometimes I'll take a whole Vidalia onion and just split it in half and just pour some olive oil over top of it and set it right there on the grill in that cage and let it cook the whole time I'm cooking everything else. But, yeah, I got into the habit where I was just – I'd light that thing up, and as big as that grill is, I'd dump, you know, 8-10 pounds of coal in there, get that thing fired up, and I would cook, you know, pork chops, chicken, a couple steaks, shrimp, and box it all up.
Yes.
And that's what we'd have for dinner all week long, a bunch of grilled stuff. And
You can throw the stuff that's going to go fast. You get throw that in the freezer or eat that first, whatever. You can do your rotations with that. But, yeah, because if you're going to spend that much money on charcoal and wood, and, yes, I will admit I can be cheap, you might as well, if the same amount of charcoal, the same amount of wood for the smoker, same number of hours, okay, if I'm doing 6 hours for something and I'm spending that much, it ain't that big a deal for me to go ahead and add 2 more hours for a different cut of meat. You know, you're out there 8-10 hours or, you know, depending upon what you're doing, maybe even 12. Might as well just do it because the backside of that stuff or, you know, your charcoal, all that, it costs so bloody much money, it's ridiculous. Boy, that used to be cheap.
And the funny thing is about charcoal is that people say, you know, I don't cheat. I don't use that match light stuff. By the time you get done squirting a $10 can of damn lighter fluid on it, you're doing the same thing.
First off, all that, both cases are wrong. I've used a chimney starter for really long time. I'm just saying. Chimney starter's the way to go. Leftover newspapers, I'll tell you right now, I used to when the old, I can't remember what the little base news thing, you could go there, and then they got some of the little ad ones you could go to, and they'd have the little box. You could reach in there and grab those. Boy, I'd grab a handful of those. And
put it in the box.
Just use that, and you squirt a little oil on top of that paper, throw it underneath your chimney starter. There's no petrol involved at all for your stuff. We always add a different little wood in there if you're doing that. I prefer the low, slow smoking, but I do mine's a horizontal smoker with the offset box, so I can also grill. And I will set my coals, and even sometimes, you know, I'll drop in some, especially the chips, like you said, not so much the chunks, but the chips of wood will go in there on the side to help give some of that, help layer the flavor, give it that depth. But I'll set the coals at either end of the grill, and I will use that indirect heat. I've done, you know, I've done the ham on the grill that way, along with the leg of lamb at the same time, you know, just, and it just, what a thing that one is. Sit there and do the indirect heat on that one. The, but yeah, always a chimney starter. Not a propane guy. I know
no.
King of the Hill would have bits or whatever, but I tell you the thing that I'm really intrigued by. I'm seriously intrigued. I think I will lose the art or the science. What do I want to say? No, actually, I'll lose the art because the machine is pure science. So you'll lose the art of being able to, you know, keep that temperature with whether you're using your lump charcoal or your standard briquettes or whatever, and your ratio of wood and mixing chips and chunks and, you know, what the stuff you soaked, the stuff you didn't soak, the whole nine yards. I admit, those electric pellet grills have me incredibly intrigued because they take the whole art out of it because the machines are pure science. And
right.
Pellets, you, I don't know if there's a combination somebody hasn't thought of yet. But, you know, there's certain things I can do with a regular smoker that I can't do with one of those. With a regular smoker, I'll tell you, one of the things I did is I minimized the amount of stuff that was in my hot box to go ahead and throw the smoke through just enough, just barely enough to have some stuff lit and pass in smoke. And I've taken dry ice. I was working with applewood. And I've taken dry ice, and I put it right at the mouth where that hot box goes into the main area of the horizontal smoker to cool that smoke down. And I had cured salmon prior to that and then was able to give it that applewood smoke. So I was trying to do not just, you know, pure curing will give you your lox, but the Nova lox tend to be smoked. So I was able to do a variation of Nova lox, but you can't really do that with that high-end equipment. But that's something you can do with the old manual stuff with a little chicanery and ingenuity.
Yeah, yeah, because
I remember. I do my own salmon.
I even had one of those old school indoor grills with the heating element, and you'd have a little drip pan under it. And I used to spray that drip pan with Pam, and then put the residue, you know, the designated amount of water in there. But then I would take hickory or liquid smoke. And the nifty thing about liquid smoke is that you can buy like a 6-ounce jar and it will last you for like 200 or 300 years. You almost have to put it in your will with that jar of Dick's Vapor Rub
much.
You bought back in 72. Because
pretty much,
if you put, yeah, you put like 2 or 3 drips in that water, it just totally changes the flavor of whatever you're cooking. And I use that thing for ages. When I was single, because a lot of times, you know, I was working 1,000 hours a week. I didn't have time to fire a grill up. I just, you know, throw it right there on the countertop in the house. I'd bring home a big ass ribeye from the store and throw it on there. And, you know, I'd be going about my business while it cooked. I'd come through every now and then and flip it, you know, because I usually eat my ribeyes around medium. And that did the trick. The only problem is with those is that it takes forever to cook something on them, and they're not real diverse. If you're not grilling, say, you know, a hamburger, a hot dog, or a steak, even chicken, I never felt real good about putting chicken on those things because I'm funny about
gotta
poultry.
Be boneless. Yeah. Gotta be boneless.
Yeah, I just don't trust poultry at all when it came down to that. So, but yeah, those things were good. I mean, for what they were used for. But going back, we used to talk about with the propane, I couldn't agree with you more. I don't know what it is, and not to be too totally graphic, but every time I eat chow off of a gas grill, I get the old reflux. Yeah, I mean, by the end of the night, and everything and everything you burp tastes like propane. Your farts smell like propane. Everything smells like propane. And, you know, you're wondering if you ought to be smoking a cigar later on after dinner or not with all the, you know, with all that going on. And I've never been, to me, and I know I might be offending folks, to me, gas is kind of a lazy way to go, so to speak, because it takes
Look,
all of the
thinking
out. Look,
I get people up north in the wintertime. I get
right,
people up north in the wintertime trying to use it.
And like us during the hurricanes and that kind of jazz, a lot of times having gas grills during a hurricane is a lot more doable because if it's raining,
yep.
you can't get your – found that out in Florence. I had all this chow and I had all this charcoal and then it rained four solid days. And when I say it rained, it poured for four solid days. And I couldn't get those coals lit for love the money. So, sometimes having a gas grill will help. But the food to come off it, it just has a different taste. And it has a different post game to it too. It just like I said, I'm not real big on burping propane for two or three days afterwards. But perhaps it's just my anatomy. But yeah, I don't get along with propane chow as much as a lot of other folks do. It just doesn't do me any good. But there's a certain art to cooking on wood or cooking, like you were talking about, using the starter log and all that, or, you know, charcoal. There's a certain art to it, whereas using the gas is just an outdoor gas conventional oven, so to speak. It works off the same principle. If you use gas in your house,
Pretty much. But, you know, I mean, again, I get it for... You know, when you've got a couple feet of snow, where you're going to do, you know, and I get that people actually shovel their decks and stuff like that. I get it. So I'm not trying to be overly dramatic here. But, you know, when it's that darn cold and you're trying to do different chimney starter or whatever, that kind of stuff, boy, you know, that's not easy in the heavily snow area, so I don't I can't talk too much trash for the folks that do that one, like you said, the stuff with the hurricanes. You know, and I remember post-hurricane, as far as the storm blew off, waiting for power to come back. Boy, let me tell you, having a charcoal grill was gold, and having the right type of pans and such, you know, no plastic handled pans, you know, good cast iron skillets and that kind of stuff. Being able to, I remember a set of neighbors sitting there saying, oh my God, you're out here scrambling eggs. I am. Well, you got a power too? Well, I got the grill going. You know, let us, you know, do you have a pan that'll work on here? I don't. Well, like, go when we're done with this one. Come on over and, you know, we'll get the pan laundered and you can cook up. And I expect you to bring the pan back clean after
point,
you do your
huh?
bath.
I get some points against that girl.
Are you guys done? Are you guys able to wrap up? Granny?
I did. And the, oh, is the last one?
Well, the one you were playing. Now, yeah.
For those that don't know, Granny's been sitting in the car doing the podcast from her vehicle, waiting for other events to get completed.
And you know what, guys? And you know what, guys?
What's that?
My son and his teammate on this cornhole tournament that they did, double elimination tournament, him and his teammate took seventh place tonight.
Oh, nice.
And this is
Al,
only the second
like
time that he's done cornhole.
I was going to say, you said he's like brand new to it. That's a big deal.
Yep. Yep. The guy that's over the cornhole league, he's going to bring him a set of bags and give him a set of bags to use for when he plays on Mondays and Wednesday nights.
Well, how cool is that?
Yeah, that way he stepped in there. Might be a natural. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
To say, yeah, man.
Yeah. He's doing his Randy Macho Man Savage impersonation.
I heard it. We heard it. It was almost like Evan Malcolm on the call.
Yeah, no kidding. That's what I thought.
He's a lot like Malcolm.
And whether you love it or you don't, it's the best thing going today. Woo!
It's awesome.
Way to go, Nate. I hear you. Outstanding. Yeah, you know, going along with the outdoor activity and cornhole and all that, grilling kind of goes hand in hand with that. You know, it's one of those things that you do while the grill is doing its job. But I'll tell you something else I do with the charcoal. And I know it sounds crazy. Two things that I do is one thing is I grill squash. If you take a zucchini or a yellow squash,
yeah,
and you just cut it in half, salt, pepper, olive oil, and just set it on the grill like you would a hamburger, it is a totally, totally different way of eating squash, and it's a total different flavor, total different consistency, and it's good eating. Now,
You got to stay on top of it. Indirect heat, Dave. Indirect heat.
Right. Yeah, you don't want it directly over the flames. That's for damn certain, because it'll disintegrate right there in the on the grill for you. Now, another thing that I will do, especially if I'm kind of running a little low on charcoal, is I will take bacon and put bacon on the grill. Sometimes it requires a little
Hold on. Let me do a quick interruption. We got somebody in the queue. We got a special guest in the queue.
Oh, really? Well, let me go on in there and click them in. Todd, carry on for me while I'm clicking.
Look, we're talking doing stuff on the grill here and that. I think we may have to request some overtime now that we're getting to this. We've got special guests jumping in. Look, let me tell you, I think something that people might miss out on and do it in direct heat, go ahead and do a peach on the grill too. Again, in direct heat, but a peach on the grill, and oh my God, grilled peach on top of, let's say you have some good vanilla bean ice cream and put that on top of that. Oh, gadzooks.
That sounds amazing.
Oh,
I love
the
cooking shows when they're doing the grilling competition outside. That some of that stuff that they were cooking was absolutely amazing.
I know the show you're talking about. I don't think I've ever even completed an episode. I just couldn't really get through those. Waiting for Diamond Dave to go ahead and get through his task here and get our guest in here on the show.
Yeah, we are. Hold on. So who's joining?
Well, let's introduce our guest, please.
Can you guys hear me?
Yay! What's going on?
Hey, Dave, and Todd and Granny, it's Malcolm. Hey, guys are making me laugh. I'm so talking about cooking and all that. But I got to tell you, Adam, I met this new girl, Jessica, I'm staying with here in South Carolina, and they went up north to the zoo for the weekend, and I was here with his dog taking care of it and his cat. And I didn't have anything real special for Easter, but I'll tell you what, if I was going to go anywhere, it would be Bessinger's Barbecue because, man, they make you guys were talking about brisket. Man, they make brisket. Dr. John and Velvet took me out one day about a month ago for lunch. Man, it was my first time there, and, man, Bessinger's make the best brisket. I mean, people on the West Coast can make brisket like this. I'm serious.
Hey, Dan, I think we got somebody else in the queue, too.
I was just admiring all the brisket talk with Malcolm and the grilled peaches with Todd. Oh, my goodness. You guys got me hungry all over again.
We got the full crew tonight.
You got me late.
Wow.
It's all from Papa Strobe.
I wish there was like a buffet, like right of all the stuff you're talking about right here. That'd be amazing.
My God. I think the stuff that's funny is I knew Papa Strobe was in the queue. That's why I kind of tried to give Dave the hint. But I didn't know Malcolm was on, and it's kind of funny because we did like the Beetlejuice thing where maybe we said Malcolm's name too many times earlier.
I was thinking the same thing.
Granny Halster's son was doing
And there's Malcolm in the wings eating some Zagnuts.
It was crazy.
Yeah. I got something really funny to tell you all before Anthony gets out of the car. You know how he's been trying to turn me heel for a long time? Well, he had this idea at the next WFC show.
Healed.
Not heel. He had this idea to have a competition to turn me heel. And I told him, I said, well, 18 signatures isn't going to cut it because the villains and the cartels would be the only ones to sign it. Nobody else would. And he says, well, we can double up on the signatures. I said, no, that makes it null and void. So he's still crying, guys, but it ain't going to work.
You should turn that smile upside down, then you'll be healed, Granny.
He wants to call me Granny Villain. He wants to call me Granny Villain.
Great.
Hey, that's a great last name. I wish I had that.
Hey, how about we get some of you guys to sign the petition?
No, that's null and void. That doesn't count.
Where do I sign? Where do I sign? I want to sign it.
You want to sign, bro? You're supposed to be on my... I thought you were my friend.
Send an email.
I am your friend. I would love for you to be healed, Granny. It'd be amazing. I'd be your biggest fan.
I don't
want to
be healed. I don't want to be healed.
Actually, you are a heel if you think about this. If you are a heel, the heels have their fans too. Is that a fair statement? Heels have their fans?
That's right. We got feelings too, you know.
But, I mean, Neil, I just cheer for the good guys.
But the
good guys are the real heels. They're jerks.
See, you give heat to the heels, so you are a heel to the heels.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense. Heels to the heels.
They got me a ring with a picture with the villains. This group called the villains at WFC, and the promoter, he says, okay, everybody, 1, 2, 3, Granny Villain, hashtag make it stick. And, you know, they're trying to get me to change my name, and it's not working. It's not going to work, guys. I'm still Granny Hulkster. I mean, I will always be Granny Hulkster, you know, till the day I die. So, you know.
I don't know. Once you go villain. that's what I hear. I hear things, so that's what I hear. You know.
Yeah. Hear things. You're getting information. Moving along.
Yeah. I better consider my source, right?
Yeah.
Hey,
my God.
Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, I got to meet one of the coolest villains in history of villains.
There you go, Malcolm.
October 2000. Oh, yeah. Well, the Riddler, Frank Gorshin. I got to do the Hulk Hogan voice for Frank Gorshin. Then he picked a picture for me. I'll bring it back. I'll show it to you guys. It's my storage shed in Las Vegas. It's a close-up of his, the Riddler. And he put two mouths of Love Your Hulk, Frank Gorshin, the Riddler, and he put a question mark. I mean, I tell you what, Dave, Todd, Papa Stro, Granny, I was stoked, man. I mean, I've been a fan of Batman since I was 5 years old. And I actually got to meet Adam West at 36 years old, 31 years later. And it was like the greatest feeling ever. I'm serious. Hero and villain in the same day.
Batman was cool when he faced the Riddler. I booed Batman out of the house. Riddler's the man.
Well, he was in Star Trek too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was one of the twin aliens, black and white.
Sort of like
Piper of WrestleMania 6 against Bad News Brown.
Yeah, Bad News Brown, he was my hero, too. He was a great villain.
Oh, great villain, definitely. Now, Malcolm, post a photo of that in the group chat that we have on Facebook.
I don't have it here. I have to go out to my storage shed. I got, like, 12 or 13, like, binders full of 8x10 autographs. And I'm even giving some away. But I'll tell you this, guys, I just reserved a room in Burbank, California. You can have your football. You can have your wrestling. I told Hulk Hogan October 27, 2018, I asked him to sign up my Batman 1966 record album because I thought if I was going to pick anybody to replace Adam West to play Batman, it would be him. And I asked Hulk to do it, and he says, you got it, brother, or something like that. And then when Hulk signed it, I told Hulk that, you know, my original heroes, I mean, you didn't wrestle till 1979, rather, and Piper didn't wrestle till 1976. Even Ric Flair didn't wrestle till 1972. I was 5 years old in 1968, and Batman and Robin, Adam West and Burt Ward were my two original heroes. And Hulk said to me, he says, I got it. He goes, I got to respect that. He says that to Eric Bischoff, Jimmy Hart. You got to respect that. At least he's being honest. He's not up here saying, oh, Hulk, you're the greatest ever, and there's nobody greater and all that. You know, you're showing honesty. That's what he told me, you know. So I really like it. And I got a room reserved in Burbank, two beds. And, man, my mom's birthday is August 28th, and it's the 27th through the 8th, this event at the Marriott Marquis Convention Center out there in Burbank, California. And I'm going to get Frankie Avalon. I already emailed him. Frankie's going to sign a picture. Happy birthday, Jackie, to my mom. She's in a retirement home, and I'm going to just love that. You know, my
that
mom.
Would be cool.
Frankie
Avalon.
Yeah,
man, if you could get him that Funicello on that one, that would be it. God, who remembers old beach party movies?
I told Frankie that. My mom used to tell me stories about, you know, I was real young in the 70s, and I was too young to watch, you know about that stuff in the 60s. I was only 5 years old in 68. But when the 70s hit, they used to show those beach movies, like, during the week on Channel 7, and they'd have, like, beach movie week. And mom would talk about movies with Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon. And then me and Frankie – The last time I met him was a few years back. First time I ever met him, Frankie, I told him my favorite song was Venus. He wrote that on my autograph picture close above him. But me and Frankie Avalon got to sing one verse of Venus. And Frankie said I was good. David Somerville of the Darling of the Diamond said I was good. And Mary Wells of the Supremes. So I got to sing with Paul McCartney because my voice was high-pitched in 1982. And in 83, a year later, we were in Germany. We were coming back, and we got stuck in England, and we ended up in this pub, and I got to meet Paul McCartney, and we got to sing this song, Take It Away, him and me. Then we got to sing Ticket to Ride on stage. I mean, I had pictures, you know, with my camera, but I had a 35-millimeter camera, and we went through Bangor, Maine, you know, where the customs area is, and I didn't take my film out of my camera, so when I get to the photo mat in Fort Bliss, Texas, you know, I found out the pictures didn't turn out. I destroyed that 35-millimeter camera. There was a brick wall, and I beat that thing senseless. I was so upset. I mean, I had pictures of Paul McCartney, Linda McCartney, Denny Lane, Joe Walsh, pictures with the pub manager. The pub manager said I was, he goes, I was a character. That's what he told me. Because, I mean, I had never, you know, I had this high-pitched voice I didn't live with almost all my life. I felt like Michael Jackson or Mickey Mouse when I talked. I'll never forget the reaction I got at Fort McClellan when I first got there. You know, the drill sergeants and everybody training NCOs were making fun of my voice, the guys in my platoon. But I persevered over it. You know, I developed this great cadence voice. Up in the morning. I mean, I could sound like that now. I when I was at Fort Benning, I learned how to do Hulk Hogan. Everybody's wound up because I could do Hulk Hogan. I was just happy Todd and Papa Stroh and Granny and Dave. I was just happy I could have a deep voice like a guy. That's what I was thrilled about, you know. So. Yeah.
And that was a moment in music history by Malcolm Mayer.
Hey, Malcolm.
You know that usually happens when your voice drops, the voice changes.
Mine didn't.
Hey, Malcolm.
Yeah.
You said your mom's birthday was August
28th? Yes, it is.
My birthday is August 29th. My birthday is the day after your mama's.
Well, I'll tell you what, Granny, you go on the HollywoodShow.com, you pick out a celebrity, and I'll see if I can get you a happy birthday picture, too. I like doing that.
Well, I appreciate that, Malcolm. So.
Yeah, I life's getting too short to get bitter over this and that. I just want to. You know, I just want to have fun and enjoy my life. Like, I'm 57, and I told Hulk Hogan, he asked me, is there something, I said, I'm glad to be a Hulkamaniac and a wrestling fan, but I'm more proud to be a U.S. Army soldier for almost 13 years. And Hulk said, is there something you didn't get to do in the Army you wanted to do? And I said, yeah, I was at Fort Benning. I wanted to go airborne. They wouldn't let me jump out of an airplane, so I'm 57. Sometime this year, I'm going to find somebody. I'm jumping out of a plane 45,000, 50,000 feet. Oh, I am going to do it, baby. Just one time, then I'll put it to bed. Yeah.
There are a lot of good programs for that. Let me, since we've already gone completely off the rail, how freaking awesome is that? Let me ask this. How many people caught Brian's WSE Lounge last night?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, he had Nikita Koloff on there, didn't he? Bummer.
Dude, that guy looks like he can still freaking go. And the nephews, if you will. And good show. I guess what I want to do here with by bringing that up is kind of make sure I give Brian in the WSE Lounge a shout-out. Because that was a really, really good show to be able to have those folks there and to be able to see Nikita Koloff in a format where, you know, you got Nikki, Uncle Nikki. It just, it was really cool. It was fun. So just a shout out to our boy Brian Vaughn and the WSE.
Yeah, absolutely. Lab. Yeah, you know, Todd, you know what I loved about Nikita Koloff is the 1988 Great American Bash. Him and Sting teamed up, and he had hair on his head. Remember when Nikita had hair on his head? He did the sickle against Tully Blanchard.
About that.
Yeah, that was so cool, man. I loved it when Nikita had hair on his head. It was so different. You know, it's like when Hulk Hogan put hair on his head when he was doing those movies in the 90s. It was like really freaky, but it was really cool.
Well, what was cool about that is on the cast they talked about, because he was one of the ones that they were using in the casting call that might have been Rocky's foe.
I met Carl Weathers and I met Burt Young at a Fred Biletnikoff dinner out in the Bay Area years ago, and I met Burt Young and Tony Burton, all from Rocky. I never got to meet anybody else, but I'm still hoping I get to meet Mr. T, because Hogan, I was telling Hogan, I want to meet Mr. T. You and him teamed up first WrestleMania against Piper and Orndorff, you know, and Orton and Jimmy Snuka were involved tonight, and even Pat Patterson and Muhammad Ali. Pat was the referee in the ring, and Muhammad Ali was outside the ring. And I want to meet Mr. T, because I want a chance to say, if you don't like Mr. T, I pity the fool. You know, I just want a chance to talk to Mr. T, because I loved it, guys, when he was on the A-team, and I met Dwight Schultz to play Murdoch and talk to him about it. I'm dying to meet Mr. T and Murdoch together, because they're as funny when they get together, Esther and Fred on Sanford and Son, or Ralph and Ed on the Honeymooners, or, you know, some of these people that just have these great fights with each other, you know.
Hey, Diamond Dave, how much time do we have left on our overtime?
We got just about enough time to pass it around for everybody to do their little parting shots, and then we'll have to shut it down, because we are definitely in overtime, extra innings, bonus round. So, it's good to hear everybody joining in. Man, it's been a while, Malcolm. It's good to have you back. So I'll go ahead and start with Stro, because normally Stro's got he's the busiest of all of us in overtime, at least when he's interesting stuff. The rest of us just got a bunch of mundane crap going on. So Stro, some exciting stuff there, dude. Talk it up.
Well, tomorrow night, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VSignation.com. The topic of discussion tomorrow night will be the Four Horsemen, the history of the Four Horsemen. So if you got any cool Four Horsemen stories, call in tomorrow night. It should be fun. Friday night on my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/StroTheMaestro, at 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. The feature will be The Ghost and the Guest from the 50s. So please tune in for that.
I'm out.
And
nice.
Then Sunday, if you're in the Charlotte Concord area, I'll be appearing and also guest cosplay and judging at the Charlotte Comic Con, which will be at the Concord Convention Center in Concord, North Carolina. And for more information on that, go to www.charlottecomiccon.com. And it's always a blast with you guys.
Well,
always a great time.
Will any of your Dusk mates be there at the con?
Yes. Some of the crossover Dust series cast and Devil's Daughters cast will be there as well.
Oh, we go.
Outstanding. Yeah, we were spoke to Ron Rossman this week. We were trying to go ahead and get him on the show this evening, because we haven't heard from him in a while, but he's got so much going on and everything. But he said he'd be more than happy to join us some other time when he hasn't got so much going on. So it was good hearing from him. And what we were speaking on earlier in the show, Stro, we were just happy to see things starting to get back into forward motion, you know, seeing the cons coming back up and the, you know, and the wrestling events and the ball games and everything. It's good to see forward motion instead of the stagnant stuff we've been doing. So good to hear all that going on, brother. I appreciate you joining us tonight. Good to hear from you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm with you. I'm happy things are picking up, and I hope they pick up even more in the upcoming year.
Yeah, couldn't agree more with you. That's yep. for him, sir. So, Granny, Hulkster, what you got to tell me?
Well, I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week and be safe out there and love one another and just, you know, be good to each other, you know, because I love you guys, and I'm glad I was able to be on tonight with y'all, and, you know, it's always a blast and just such a great time. How's your mom doing, Stro? I know she was supposed to have eye surgery or something, or...
Yeah, she did last week, and I've been kind of helping her the last couple of days driving around because her vision's still kind of clearing up. But she's doing better, and she's in good spirits. So
that's good.
Thank you for asking.
Awesome.
God love your sweet mom, and I love you all too. So everybody have a great rest of the week.
Outstanding. Yeah, we appreciate that. Good to hear your mom's doing well because. You know, it's like I alluded to earlier, you never get too old to have good news from mom. That's just something that never gets old. And I've been blessed to have
amen,
good your mom's class material too, man. So, yeah, that's good times. Good to hear she's doing well. Todd, what you got to throw out there, buddy?
Trying to wait a moment. It's just V-22 finishes passing over. look, guys, I tell you what, I had a handful of things that I was thinking about, but as folks join the call, that just, thank you. The crew sitting here, our ability to be able to have all these random honest, real conversations. How awesome is that? I want to thank you all for being here and being with us. And you guys know my normal closing. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. And be safe out there. You know what I'm going to tell you all what I've told my son for years. I quit saying be safe to him because that's, I think, a different mindset. Be smart.
Yeah.
Be smart.
Yeah.
Take care
Good
of one
call.
Another.
Absolutely. Over. Well said, man. And I totally agree with you, man. I mean, it's good to have everybody aboard because, as a matter of fact, I was joking with Ron when I was speaking to him. I said, there ain't but so much folks won't have, listen to me and Todd carry on every damn week. So, you know, we need to have some alternate voices on the show from time to time. So, yeah, it's certainly good to have some folks joining in tonight to help us out because we were running out of gas. So y'all saved the day. We appreciate it. So, speaking of which, Malcolm, what you got for me?
Well, I got to tell you, Dave, I called in late, but listening to your stories about the chicken and the ham and the butter beans, I mean, you had me laughing at the other end. I don't know if you knew it, but you and Todd talking about that, I was really enjoying that. You know, you guys are like connoisseurs, you know, to me as far as cooking was what you know, because I cook dinner every night from just about every night for me and Adam. Because he's working during the day, and I'm watching his dog and his cat, and I'm doing the laundry. I didn't know I was going to move back here when I got here October 30th. I was going to be Tony Maselli, you know, Tony Danza on Who's the Boss. I didn't know that was going to happen to me, but, you know, I'm just dealing with it. But I got to tell you, I'm really enjoying being back here. Papa Stro, if I can make it out there Sunday, I would love to see you again. I'm holding up that terrible towel I bought at the Fan Zone about last month with you. Because I'm telling you, I'm just enjoying knowing people. That's why I called the show tonight. I never get to hear Dave or Todd or Tim anymore, you know, and That's why I used to love calling the show, listening to your guys, is, you know, what you guys do, you know, the things you get to do and the things you go through. And I like being back here also because I spent most of my Army training at Fort McClellan, Fort Gordon, Georgia, Fort McClellan, Alabama, rather, and Fort Benning. I had some real experiences at Fort Benning. But, man, it's just great. You know, Adam treats me good, you know, and I might be getting rid of my Raider car. And the Raiders left Oakland and moved to Las Vegas, so I really don't care. And David Arquette's trying to help me sell my season tickets that I was going to get every year. But my heart's just not in it. You know, guys, you have to understand, my best team played when I was a kid. And as the years went by, the Raiders got worse and worse. And honest to God, I don't think the Raiders will win. They'll make the playoffs in the next 10 years the way they're going. So I'm just like what you would say, abandoning the ship. I'm still a real fan of the team I was when I was a kid, but, you know, in the 70s and 80s. But they haven't won a Super Bowl since January 1984 to beat Washington 38-9. They ain't done nothing. You know, they ain't done jack since. Not even the Rich Gannon, John Gruden team in the 2000s could win a Super Bowl. I mean, it's a disgrace. You know, I'd rather jump ship to the 49ers. I know Joe Montana and Jerry Rice and some of the 49er legends. And they respect me as, you know, as much as the Raider legends do. So,
yeah. Hey, Dave, I got an alibi round here. I want to, because I failed badly on my earlier one. Dr. John, Amazing Velvet, Tim, I know you all got a million things going on. Team, we miss you tonight. Love you. Big hugs.
That's right.
Yeah, you're way ahead of me. That's what I was going to throw down there. And yeah, most definitely. And, you know, Malcolm, it's good having you back this evening. And interesting little thing about Todd and myself speaking about chow all the time. if you're out there listening and you're walking around going, man, I want to meet this Todd Saxon guy. Whatever you do, don't look for the 400-pound guy you're looking for. Todd is a size 32, but he eats like a damn horse. So I don't know how he does it, but nevertheless, he has been blessed with the genetics. But, yeah, it's always good to get on here and carry on with everybody, and it's good to hear everybody's voices and everything because we can get mixed up and get to going too fast and you kind of forget what's important, like I did this weekend, and not get to eat any jelly beans or peeps. So, yeah.
Oh, man, we are going to hear about those jelly beans for a while.
Yeah.
And peeps. Don't forget the peeps.
Jelly bellies. Ronald Reagan's favorite, jelly bellies.
To be certain, I've got some, like, jelly bean stash from last year in a cabinet somewhere around here, you know, where I haven't cleaned anything. And maybe perhaps I could get my jelly bean fixed. But, yeah, that would be my plug for the week, folks, is to just kind of I know it's real easy to get wrapped up in the moment. It's real easy to get tied up in your emotions when things aren't going right. But stop for a minute, slow down, take a breath, and take a look at all the good stuff that's going on, because even in the worst of times, there are good things happening. And sometimes it's a good laugh, sometimes it's a good thought that'll bring you out of that quagmire you might be in. So take, for instance, like tonight, you know, felt like good coming on, feeling considerably better now. So appreciate everybody joining us this evening and everything. And I am going to strut back in that well manner here and let the British lady put in everything. But, again, I appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Appreciate everybody listening. And tune in for next week when Todd and me will cover various Swanson frozen dinners.
Hey, don't be hating on Banquet.
Hey, funny thing is, guys, you never know what we're going to talk about on this show. That's the whole great thing about this. You never know what we're going to start talking about.
And I didn't know your last name was Villain, Granny. Had no idea.
It's not.
Learned something new tonight.
It's not, bro. You've been talking to my son again. It's not. Don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay, gotcha.
You used to be Viet Cong. Now it's Villain Chilling for Granny.
No, it's not. It's not. But I love you guys, and be safe, everybody.
Absolutely. Y'all have a wonderful night. And thanks again for joining us on Pop Culture Stars.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Love y'all.
Where are you?